You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, the premier podcast in the state of California. That's too ambitious. Premier hockey podcast in the state of California? That could be something. I'm still going to work
as a team in San Jose.
Well, that's too narrow. I want to go a little bit bigger. I want to be a little more ambitious.
I was going to say, yeah, we have it like the Locked On A's and the Locked On Giants. And I think the Locked On Warriors have all won like podcasts of the week. And we have not yet. So we have
Locked On Lakers. Locked On Lakers is like a real thing.
Yeah, Locked On Lakers. Yeah. We haven't got
Locked On Dodgers probably. Yeah. We haven't. We're underrated. But we're premier. We're covering the San Jose Sharks.
We're going to stick with that. We're underrated podcast
in the world. No. Training camp opens today. So what we decided to do is that there's some position battles for the first time in forever. And not position battles insofar as, oh God, I want to jump off a bridge because nobody's good. Actual position battles where there's some quality of competition. And quality of competition may vary depending on how you look at it. But there's some actual battles that are going to happen. So we're going to look at the four battles that we think are going to play out, because we've kind of gone through the roster. Obviously, 1C and 2C are locked up. There's no position battle between Logan Couture and Tomas Hertl. There's no position battle between Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson. They're in the top four, that kind of stuff. So we're going to look at starting goalie, 5-6-7D, two winger, like two second line winger. Oh my God, brain is melting. And then the 4C spot. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me, as always, is JD, the Joe Pavelski to my Scott Reedy.
2.0, baby.
I can't believe your whole personality is now Scott Reedy is Joe Pavelski 2.0. It's your entire persona.
That's all I tweet. That's all I text in the group chat is Scott Reedy 2.0.
You did anyway. Tweet that, or you did text that to you out of nowhere. Nobody was talking in the group chat, and all of a sudden I get a notification. I'm like, oh, I wonder what JD saying. This is Scott Reedy 2.0. That's it. This is all it said. Yeah, I just immediately closed my phone and went back to the hungover.
Throw your new phone. I'm sorry.
I threw it through a wall. Okay. First position battle. Starting goalie. Obviously, we know that Aiden Hill and James Reimer are the two goalies. Alexei Melnichuk is not busting in and coming in and taking one of their jobs. But I think it's important to highlight that they will be competing for the starting job. I don't think either of them was brought in and said, here you go, you're the starter. I think it's going to be a lot of time splits. One's obviously a veteran, James Reimer, his second tour of duty in California. Hill is obviously an up-and-comer, younger guy, where he's getting a shot to be a starter. So if Hill takes the reins and falters, they have a veteran guy, and if they want to turn to the veteran and choose him, they have that option. But I think it's important that there's actual goaltenders in San Jose. Not that Martin Jones wasn't an actual goaltender, but we all know.
He was 3 years ago. So he's Philly's problem now. Yeah. I think this is, we saw Hill play with the Coyotes, and he did a really good job there, especially on a Coyotes team that is lacking in talent in a lot of places. I know they have some guys like Jacob Chychrun and stuff, and Phil Kessel doing Phil Kessel things. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see with, you know, he always still was kind of the third guy just because, the guys in front of him who were always injured, but
Ranta and Kemper are very good.
Yeah, they're very good, but they're always injured. So he was able to kind of get his time to shine because of injuries. So it'll be interesting where, being the guy, quote unquote, with the Sharks to see if he can kind of step up to that. So I give him a good chance. I think like a 75% chance that he's named the starter coming out of training camp. But I still think having that veteran guy like Jim Drummer, who's been there and done it and seen it all and a bunch of different places, just having that guy who can kind of help a young guy out. I think that's, I feel much better about the Sharks goaltending than I did in May. So,
yeah, of course. What do you think? You think that Reimer has the inside track on being the starting goalie?
No, Hill. Hill's a
Hill. Player. You think you have Hill as the inside track? 75%.
Yeah, I would. If I was putting odds, I would. Yeah, like 75% chance that Hill is the starting goal name, like starting opening night. So
I think, yes, I think Hill is the opening night starter, but I think it's 50-50 for the first little bit. I think they go true split.
Yeah.
Before one of them carves it out that first month or so.
So yeah, I could see that. I still think you traded a second round pick to acquire Hill in a what's going to be a very, very deep draft class. So I could see it being like a 60-40% split with Hill getting the slight edge. But I think it's Hill's job.
Yeah, no, makes sense. Obviously, it's not one of the sexier position battles because nobody's losing a job. They're just playing a little bit less.
I will say the helmets for Reimer and Hill, though, very nice. The paint jobs on those. So,
did James Reimer go with the Optimus Ram again?
He's got like the kind of, yeah, like the
Transformers in disguise.
So. Yep.
Do your children watch Transformers yet?
No.
You failed as a parent.
Yes. Well, it's not Minecraft or Bluey, so they don't care. So.
Okay, fair enough.
Does this sound familiar to you? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend log in for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggly remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. The best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package.
Are you like me and you're too lazy to actually go to the grocery store and get groceries, so you order a HelloFresh box or a Good Food Prep box every week and get it delivered to your door? If you're lazy like that, and I know there's a lot of you are, Built Bars are a great way to also be lazy about your eating habits. Did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, plus some limited time flavors? There's coconut almond, cherry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie. My favorite, or flavorite, if you will, is definitely the peanut butter brownie. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, then you can definitely get a mix box where you get 2 each of the 9 flavors. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams net carbs. Please check out the individuals because they do vary, but most of them are quite healthy like that. So order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever your favorite is. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Moving on to our next position battle. The 5-6-7-D. So originally, JD and I had this down as the 6-7-D, but I think it's important to include the fifth defenseman because I don't know if this is the season that Marc-Edouard Vlasic finally starts getting scratched or not. So the guys in contention for this job, Vlasic, Šimek, Ryan Merkley, Artemi Knyazev, Santeri Hitaka, Brinson Pashnak. Vlasic as the 50, I think, is a 95% chance.
Yeah.
I think he's the 5D, but if he gets off to a really bad start, I think that is quickly dissipating. Or if he's having a really bad training camp, I think there's a chance that that's not so much of a certainty anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the only way he does it, he's not out there opening night, is if he has an abysmal training camp and he's just, just falls off a cliff or continues to fall off the cliff that he's started down. So, I would be shocked if he's not out there opening night, but there's a slight crack in the door where you can see it happening.
Yeah. Sixth defenseman.
Did you play all 82 games? That's another question. So,
yeah.
So,
sixth defenseman. I think Šimek has the inside track. I think he is probably the incumbent, obviously. I think there's still obviously a little bit more trust than with some rookies.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say he's 51% if we're breaking up 1, 2, 3, 4, there's five guys and we're divvying up 100% of the pie here, he's probably maxing out at like 40%.
Yeah.
Leaving 60% with the other guys. I just, as we said yesterday, he is eminently available. He's constantly being put in trade rumors and stuff like that. He does make $2.3 million. Be nice to get that off the books too. So I don't think it's as big of a hold on the spot, especially because they're both lefties. So if you can lose one of them and have a traditional lefty-righty pair.
Yeah, I'm with you there with the Shimmick. I think it's kind of like it's a 50-50. Because you can't, you know, if he's not playing, then he's going to be your seventh defenseman. You're going to be scratching him at, you know, 2.5 or whatever, you make $2 million a night. But, you know, he ended last season hurt. You know, ever since that knee injury, he just hasn't been the same guy. I actually think, you know what, the more I think about it, I think he's going to be the seventh defenseman. So I'm going to put him at 30%. Chance to be the sixth defenseman. Yeah.
Ooh, you think he's going to be the seventh defenseman? So
I think he's going to be.
If he's not the sixth defenseman, he's almost certainly will be the seventh defenseman.
Yeah,
he's not getting sent to the minors. So who do you think has the inside track on the 6D?
I wouldn't be like whoever has the best training camp between Merkley, Hataka, and Artemi Knyazev.
You're forgetting Pashnik, man. They love
him. They love them some Pashnik.
I don't get it. I don't understand. But I'm just reporting the news here.
Yeah, he's I think he's Shimmick Jr. Pashnik. Whoever has the best one of those, because I mean we've seen the past 2 years where some random defenseman just comes out of nowhere and makes the team. And it's not like Shimmick has done enough, I think, to hold on to that spot. And especially if you hopefully partner Vlasic with somebody who can maybe transition a little bit better and you know, instead of where it's just Shimmick and Vlasic and they just get pinned in their own defensive zone because neither one of them can get the puck out of the zone. I that's why I think one of these guys will give a slight edge to Merkley just because he's the first round pick and he's been in the system a little bit longer. So, but
my kingdom for Burns, Carlson, Merkley down the right side.
Oh my goodness.
Just do it. Just do it.
Rip off the band-aid.
Let's go. Just do it. I think Merkley seems to be getting stronger as the dev camps go along.
Yeah.
So if he comes out and has a really good training camp, I think that becomes a real conversation with Shimmick. I'm going to say, though, that if Shimmick is run down, it's probably by Pashnik because he got that like two games or whatever at the end of last season for some reason.
Yeah.
They seem to like him. I don't get it, but I think it'll be interesting to see how they start mixing in guys on the bottom pair. And I think Vlasic's going to be stuck there. And then it'll be interesting to see how they mix in the Pashniks and the Shimmicks and the Merkleys.
Do you think Middleton or Milosh have a chance? Milosh did famously make the team out of camp last year.
As the 7th D?
No, he played. It was
Milosh. Oh, yeah, he was the Knyazhov, right?
Milosh and Knyazhov both were the bottom pair last year to start the season. So I think he got a couple games and that was it. But Middleton's kind of popped up here and there.
If Milosh, Megna, or Middleton make the team, then there's some serious issues with the prospects.
Yes.
There's no way that they're better than those other guys that we're talking about. I think the most fun option would obviously be Merkley or Knyazhov. I think a true dark horse would be Hataka. And I think the wrong choice, but likely choice would be Pashnik. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. Let's go to the second line winger. So we are presupposing for this that it's going to be Kane, Couture, LeBanc, which is what it was every freaking game last year.
Yes.
And then Meyer and Hurdle.
And question.
They need another, and then question mark, they need another winger. Now, the other caveat here is that we're not doing a third line winger, fourth line winger spot, because much like the shitty ass President Ronald Reagan introduced, trickle down economics are going to take effect here. People that don't win the 2W job are going to be more inclined to have the 3W job. And then we're guessing that Matt Nieto and Andrew Cogliano are going to be in the mix are going to be basically on the 12 guys that play every night.
Yes.
They'll be in there and they'll line up with the 4C, but a guy like Andrew Cogliano can easily pop up and play third winger. So
yes,
we don't want to do the big unraveling mystery box of this and this and this and that and this and that and this, and if a butterfly flaps his wings in Africa, it makes a hurricane in Florida. We're just going to go straight with the 2W. And then you, so if we don't pick Jonathan Dahlin to make the, be the 2W, it doesn't mean he's not going to be on the team. It's just he's going to go to one of those other slots and then possibly the minor. So second line winger to play with Timo and Hurdle. We got Rudy.
Yes.
Barabanov, which is incredibly hard to spell after not spelling it all summer.
Yes.
Jonathan Dahlin. William Eklund.
Mm-hmm.
And John Leonard.
Yes. Well, we talked about, let's start with Leonard and kind of cross him off because we talked about him yesterday at stock down. I don't see, he doesn't have the scoring punch of the other guys. And his defense, well, it's good. It's, you know, I think the Sharks are going to go with proven commodities of Cogliato and Nieto, who's kind of their specialty is their defense. So I think John Leonard has a very tough hill to climb here. So we'll kind of knock him off the list. Balcers was, he played a lot with Timo and Hurdle last year. So I think he has the inside track right now.
I agree.
But I don't think he should feel super safe just because of the increased talent that's going to be coming. So I give Balcers the edge at 30% chance, but right now, so. Which, who do you think is the next guy?
I think that Rudy has the inside track.
Yes.
I don't see why he wouldn't, unless they really like Barabanov, but I feel like Rudy's just better and got more time last year in this kind of role and was relied upon more. So yeah, I definitely agree there that Rudy's got the inside track. He's the guy to beat out for this job. I think Jonathan Dahlin's got to be next.
Yeah.
He's a high-skilled guy. Like, I know that he, for all his issues, that he went back and then didn't want to come over, and now he's coming over and he's got to adjust to North American ice like that and stuff like that. But put out an episode a couple of weeks ago, they need another 25 goal scorer somewhere, and he's the guy that scores goals. So I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in and he's playing really well and they put him on a line to succeed like that. I think they did that with John Leonard last year as well.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to do. You can't throw Jonathan Dahlin onto a fourth line and be like, here's 5 minutes, go check some dudes and get in a fight. That's just not who he is. So I think giving him a shot to prove himself in that spot would be quite wise.
Yeah, especially with the way that line's constructed, where you have Hurdle who can drive play, Timo Meyer's like kind of a machine gun, you know, with the way he shoots.
He also drives play though, which is next.
Yeah, you know, and then Dahlin, I think, can kind of come in and help clean up goals and be that certified sniper that I feel like that line has been missing for a while. So
I think Eklund has the longest shot by far. Because he might not even make the team.
Yes. Eklund has the longest shot to make the team, but I think he's the most fun.
Oh yeah.
Sign me up for the Eklund Hurdle Timo line.
That would be sick. Barabanov, I feel like he'll get an opportunity, but I feel like he's just worse than Rudy and he'll be more suited to like a third line
situation. Yeah, and especially he played well in a small sample size, but you can't expect him to continue the scoring pace he did last year in the 9 games he played. So I think he's destined for a third line role. So but yeah. I mean, I think with him playing with a guy like Bonino wouldn't be the worst thing in the world too. So, and it's not going to be like last year where it's here's Patrick Marleau on, you know,
still hanging out
in Gambrel. Yeah.
It's interesting though. I think another guy too that will get a shot is possibly Nick Merkley.
I can see that. Yeah.
He plays wing. I don't know if he's going to, I really think that Rudy's going to start as the second line winger.
Yeah, I agree. I think he has the inside track, but
it's not lockdown. It's not Timo or Couture or whatever.
Yep. The fun one.
Hey guys, everybody remembers that 1992 Sir Mix-a-Lot classic Baby Got Back. And guess who else is back? Bet Online, and they've got your back because football season is back. Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, Even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100, that's NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easy way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sportsbooks experts. Now, yeah, we'll go to the fun one, which we have been saying for months since the season ended, that the 4C job is open. It's not a surprise.
Yes.
Anybody who thought Dylan Gambrell had it locked down, I don't know what to tell you. 4C is completely open. Anybody can reach out and grab the brass ring. Yes. So we compiled our list. There's a lot of guys on this list. Yes. All right. Lord Jasper, the Gambler, Lane Patterson, Nick Merkley, Sasha, Scott Reedy, Noah Gregor, and if you want to get wild, Joel Shellman.
Joel Shellman.
Joel Shellman's in there. He's around, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yes, he's still around. I don't think he's waivers exempt. I don't know what's his deal.
I don't know. You can throw in Jake McGrew. Who cares? I don't know any of these guys. Any of these guys.
Gallant. I don't
have a chance. Gallant. Yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah, but true. Okay, so the prevailing wisdom at the start was that Dylan Gambrell has the inside track. Do we still think that Dylan Gambrell has the inside track at 4C?
I think it's very slight. Very
full slight. Hold on, fingernails. Like with Mufasa when he's on the cliff.
Yeah.
And Scar's like smacking him. That's where we're at.
Jasper is Scar.
Is Scar. Next. I like it.
Yeah.
William Eklund can be Simba. Kingdom will be his soon.
Yes. Gambrell has a slight just because, you know, he's older. He's been in the system for a while. He's, he did it last year, but that was one of the things coming out of the season where Doug Wilson's like, we got to improve the center position. They went out and signed Bonino. So, Gambrell was playing 3C for a while, loses that job.
No, Bonino. Bonino's the 3C.
Yeah, well, so I said he lost that after they signed Bonino.
Yes.
He was playing that. Gambrell was a 3C last year, which is insane. But I think the Sharks, they did everything they could to open the path for Lord Jasper to come in and take this job.
Yeah,
and
signing him away from his final season at NoDak, where he's going to be the captain. He scored a bajillion goals last year.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of
letting him pick his number.
Not promises, but there's a lot of like, hey, you have a chance to make the actual Sharks.
Yep.
Come join us, and that helped motivate. Agreed.
Yeah, I think he is the best odds to take the spot. So
away from Gambrell.
Away from Gambrell. So and then Gambrell would just be a either waived or scratched every night. So,
Who do you think is third on that list? Who's coming in? Who's coming in? The show position.
I'm gonna go Pedersen. So I know they also traded for Nick Merkley. They traded for both Merkley and for Pedersen. But yeah, I think Pedersen might provide a little bit more upside. I mean, we saw in a small sample size with the Coyotes, he did a pretty good job with the scoring rates and such. But as we talked about yesterday, where he's wanted, they actually went out and gave up something for him. So I'm going to give him a slight edge. So
I like Sasha.
Like Sasha,
they've given him some games. They've given him some games already. I feel like they don't totally dislike him or anything like that.
Yeah,
Chekovich is gone. I think Sasha, if Sasha can improve his skating or has improved his skating this summer, I think there's a Sasha path where he can maybe play a little bit better and slide in there. It's going to be tough because he's got to jump over Jasper and Gambrell, but I think Sasha's going to get a shot at that spot. I don't think there's going to be like, here's half a day's worth of drills here. I think Sasha will get mixed in as a real thing. Do you think Scott Reedy has any shot at whatsoever?
No, I'm going to go. I think Reedy needs
Joe Pavelski 2.0 has got to start Joe somewhere. Pavelski. Why not here?
Yeah. I give him a year in the AHL. I think he needs a year to marinate over there. But then, yeah. I guess I think we talked about where he could be. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets some games, but I think he has too many guys to try to jump right now. You know, it's just kind of the numbers game. And I think with him, just they like, I think they want to see him in the AHL for a little bit. So, because he only got a couple games in the AHL last year. Yeah.
Does Noah Gregor have any shot? He's waivers exempt. I'm assuming he's getting strength straight down to the A.
Yeah. Yeah. They, I think the Noah Gregor SC position experiment is long gone. I'm worried. I don't think he's going to be making the team out of camp either, too. So, especially because they've got like three guys who are waiver exempt. So,
two.
Yeah.
It's just for forwards, it's just Leonard and Noah Gregs who are on the main roster already. Obviously, all the young guys are waiver exempt. So, training camp opens today.
Mm-hmm.
We think Gambrell lines up at 4C to start. How long? Season opens October 12th. That's 22 days. How many days before Lord Jasper is the 4C?
I'll give him the third week of training camp.
There's only 22 days. So like the day before?
I thought time is dumb. We'll say at the beginning of October. So,
okay. So that last week before, because then it gives them a week of practices before C. So yep. October 4th, 5th is when you're coming in hot here.
Yep.
I like it. I think gun to your head, who's the 4C opening night?
All hail Lord Jasper.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. I think the Lord will prevail. Yeah. Plus it's more exciting. Get to see a new guy fresh.
Yep.
He's probably only like a year younger than Dylan Gambrell or something weird like that. But hey, let's cycle in a guy. We know what Dylan Gambrell is at this point. Let's cycle in Jasper and see. He could be anything. He could also be Dylan Gambrell. Yeah. But it'd be exciting to find out on that journey. If you think we missed somebody in the position battles, which is highly likely, or we missed an important position battle, also highly likely, please let us know on Twitter at LockedOnSharks. If you think this was stupid, you can let us know at Gmail, lockedonsharks@gmail.com. If you would like to let us know that we're doing a good job, but on a different social media platform, you can do Locked On Sharks on Facebook or Instagram. JD puts up all of our stuff there, so we will get any comments or messages that you put there. You can listen to us, Apple, Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, Podcastly, I don't know, TikTok, who cares? Wherever you get podcasts, we're there.
Leave a nice review for us too. We like those. Makes us feel good about us. Our jobs.
Yeah. We'll do that. If you'd like to find JD and tell him he's a 5-star boy, you can do that at my Fryhole.
If you want to tell Kyle about his position battle, you can find him at Kyle Demetrius.
I'm currently position battling to become a boyfriend. It's very hard. Don't ever break up with people. Just find somebody you like and just stick with it forever.
Yep. I'm on that first line.
Yeah, there you go. I'm back in the game. Came out of retirement. It's horrible. But anyway, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Something about beer store.
Betting on sports doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.